you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, March 16th, 2015, T-minus 22 days and counting. And in front of me are two different coupons. You're familiar with both of these, Jason, because you helped create them. I should do a little shout-out for Tang Dynasty over at Lincoln Square Mall in Urbana and iWok over in Savoy, two good Chinese restaurants. They're both providing 20% off your meal at their restaurants, and they'll be included in our Great News Radio gift box. And I'm pointing out the Tang Dynasty coupon because they're sponsors of our event on April 7th. And so any Great News Radio listener that shows up and wants Chinese food either before, or during, or after our celebration, it's 20% off if you say Great News Radio in their restaurants. So if you want to show up early and be a part of the Urbana Orchestra presentation or the game time and then have dinner at Tang Dynasty and then join us for the cake and ice cream and the celebration, it'll make it your whole afternoon, evening, all settled there at Lincoln Square Mall. But we appreciate the staff and owners at Tang Dynasty there at Lincoln Square Mall. And then also iWalk. Holly worked that one out. She went in and said, hey, we need a coupon, 20% off for our gift boxes. And they said, okay. They said, sure. And so we worked that out. All right. So I don't know. Some people might be singing the blues today or rejoicing over the, what do they call it on Tuesday? Super Tuesday, the results from the various, whether it's Illinois and Ohio and the different states, I guess Florida and all the results. But as you were praying about, ultimately aren't going to look for who's in power, who's in charge, because God's already given us the answer, and he's the one ultimately that we have to seek after and follow, and not man. But when you said, when you mentioned the word election, and I was thinking of Romans, the elect. Yeah. We are part of the elect, and so our destiny is kind of settled, so we can be at peace, even though we don't want to turn a blind eye to, you know, what's happening or the tragedy. And we want to be advocates, and we want to go out and vote, and we want to try to influence the political process. But this program and the station is not political, nor do we highlight certain candidates other than maybe sharing people's testimony and life journey as they surrender and submit and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But I know we live in interesting times, unusual times. You like to say, I think you've quoted Judges a few different times and Jeroboam. Like, we live in these times where people really want to do their own thing for the most part.
Yeah, yeah, well, I think so. I mean, I think biblically it's very interesting time, because if we look and we scan the biblical narrative, we see these things happening. I mean, we have got this time around, no matter which side of the fence you sit on, I mean, I just would probably say this, that compared to maybe some of the leaders we've had in the past who've been brought forth for the electoral, we don't have as strong a choice as this time. And some of them, I think we have some really divided views on what we think about these people. But I would say that if we were to look at this through an Old Testament lens, we don't have many good kings that we're looking for right now, ones that are strong in many areas, the Uzziahs, who in that reign we know that not only will industry flourish and not only will agriculture flourish, not only will we be safe, but we'll also become a place where the arts will grow and things like that will happen. The people will be well-loved and well-cared for. If you looked at Chronicles, I believe it's chapter 29 in the life of Uzziah, even though it doesn't end well, it begins well, and because he follows the Lord. And so I don't think we have an Uzziah on the platform right now. We have a lot of others. But I think increasingly more as we look at the country, you know, when we see statistics and things like that that say the desire and need for people of the church is waning, and their desire for Jesus Christ is waning, well, that's because sin is abounding, and that's because we see more and more every day people are doing as they please. You know, it makes me think of the last chapter in Judges, in fact, the last verse in Judges, before we get to Ruth, one of the most important books of the Old Testament. But it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that really the place that we're at, this place where we would say that it's intolerant to do whatever isn't right in my own eyes. I mean, you're intolerant, Mark, if you do something that I don't think is right in my own eyes. Instead of us looking at the greater good of one another, instead of me looking at you and saying, what is it that you need and what is it a way that I can love and I can serve you? Isn't it so interesting that we have this generation now, young generation, that is so into social justice, so into trying to do good for others, but truly not doing it with an eye towards saying, I want to give of myself. I think of when Jesus, John chapter 15, when he says you lay down your life for the other person. Mm-hmm. You lay aside your life because you love them more. And so we've become kind of this, we'll love you, but it's more of a service-based kind of culture. And I don't want to throw a blanket and say that that's everybody, but we see that by and large. And so, you know, we can go through the Old Testament narratives. I mean, I think in 1 Samuel, you know, when Israel comes in chapter 8, and it says in verse 19, but the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. Now, who is Samuel? Samuel was a prophet appointed by God. He was God's messenger, God's mouthpiece, who was coming to bring the grace and the mercy and the justice and the leading of God. And they said, no, he came to speak. And they go, no, we don't want to hear you. We don't want to listen to you. You know what we really want? We want a king. That's what we want. It says in here, no, but there shall be a king over us, that we also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. The whole, before 1 Samuel chapter 8, the whole Bible is about a king that they already have, a king that judges them, a king that brings justice, and a king that goes out before them and fights the battles. I mean, they've already lost the plot on Joshua walking around seven times and the horns blowing and Jericho falling and God going before them and fighting their battles. As Moses went out and fought the battles against the Canaanites, and God went ahead of them and did that as a cloud and a pillar of fire by day and night. I mean, they've lost that. It's gone. And they say, and when Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the ears of the Lord. Can you imagine this moment for Samuel when he has to turn around and tell the Lord? Essentially when he says this, he's saying, they don't believe. They don't believe. And Samuel says that to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, obey their voice and make them a king. Samuel then said to the men of Israel, go every man to his city. And now there's a king that's appointed over them, and he's Saul. And Saul seems like a really great king. You know, he's kind of got broad shoulders, and he's handsome, and he's taller than everybody else. And he turns out to be a wicked man. Because you know what? True beauty is not in the eye of the beholder. True beauty beholds God.
And isn't there a point in there where God says to Samuel, a king's going to want to have your fighting men, and he's going to take this from you, and there's going to be taxes, and I mean, we're going to give them what they want, but there are consequences by having a king.
Sure, there's consequences whenever we choose anything but God. And so even as we've seen throughout this election process, and I'm not going to comment on candidates, but what I am going to tell you is this, is that there is no man and there is no woman, there is no person, all of earth, that is going to be able to save us other than Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is the only man, the God-man, who can divinely save us, who has already done that. The work has already been done. God already saw our need, and he made sacrifice in himself to fill that need. And so now it's not about who gets to win the election. I think you already said this, Mark. We've already won the election. Romans tells us that we are the elect, that we've been called by God, that he foreknew us and predestined us, and he's justified us, and he will glorify us, and that he already knows who we are. And so we've won the election. It's not about some man or some woman or somebody who's going to somehow deliver us. We have already been delivered. But we so, like the Israelites, so want a king. We so want a king who's going to lead us into battle, who's going to judge us and bring justice. And it's already been done.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also thinking something else you were pointing out as we were talking just before going on the air here about, let's not let all this election cycle and all these news stories and all these things that can get us either wound up or busy at the expense of our relationship with God and putting the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost, you know, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Because we can get all caught up with, you know, that whole, the whole cycle, the political cycle, watching the TV, reading the news stories, you know, talking about in conversation at the expense of talking about those things that are lovely and wholesome and pure, and then just witnessing, you know, the same. If some of our Christians that are very involved in the political process, and yes, God has called many people to be involved in all aspects of life, but if they put that same energy and effort into witnessing, of sharing their faith journey, what a real eternal difference that would make.
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, we exist in the same kind of tension that Jesus existed in. Now, we're not sinless like Jesus, we're not yet, but we exist in the same tension, and that is that we see clearly where our hope is. And the Bible tells us our hope is in heaven because we've heard the truth of the gospel. It says that in Colossians. So our hope is in heaven. But we have one foot here. We're here still, too. And so we have an obligation here. And that obligation is that we're called citizens. We have dual citizenship. We're citizens in heaven and we're citizens on earth. And in our citizenship here on earth, we have an obligation to vote. And we have an obligation to stand up against injustice. And we have an obligation to do these things. Because the politics governs what people get and how they get it and how they're cared for and how they're loved and how they're judged. And so therefore we want to have a righteous political process, as righteous as our fallen political process can be. And that comes through us understanding that there's an office of being a citizen. There's an office where we as citizens of this country stand up and say, no, okay, I'm not sure about that one. We need to do a little more research, and if that's not right, we need to speak out and speak against that. But I think that what we've done is we've largely abdicated that. Or it's become more of just the Office of Citizen has become more of a cheering section where we cheer for our favorite candidate, we hope they win, and then we kind of take our hands off the wheel. I mean, we have an obligation to be involved in our communities. That's part of loving one another. That's part of when John 15, Jesus says, this is my new commandment, love one another as I've loved you. You know, and so we're called to care for one another. And one of the ways we do that is we stand up and say, no, 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 that's not just because that will hurt the poor. That's not just because that kills unborn babies. That's not just because it destroys the family. It destroys the fabric of morality within the family. It doesn't care well for that. We stand up for those things as citizens, and we need to do that. We need to be active in that process. There's no strength in your Christianity by abdicating your citizenship, but you can never forget that first and foremost, your citizenship is in heaven. The flag never trumps the cross, because that's where we get our ethics from. See, that's the biggest piece of this, is that we always have to look at our ethics through a biblical framework. We have to say biblically, I mean, I'm not a proponent of this phrase, but I'll use it here. What would Jesus do? Now, I want us all to understand that we can't do what Jesus did because he was sinless. But we have to say, how would Jesus react to the situation? And when we say that, we're saying, how would the word, the logos, how does it react to the situation? What does it say about abortion? What does it say about racism? What does it say about plans that might be put forth that don't provide for the poor and only provide for the rich? And how do we do that? You know, and what does that look like? And so I think that we have to take our citizenship seriously. Mm-hmm. And I think that we don't. But ultimately and always, our hope has to be in heaven. And then, listen, I think about Paul when he goes to the Areopagus in Acts. And we've covered Acts for like, it's like 3 years. So that was a few chapters ago. So that was like last year. People have forgotten about that. But I mean, listen, Paul goes there and he goes into Athens and there's hundreds of idols. And he doesn't walk around going, oh, the god of the wind. Oh, let me tell you what's wrong with him. And the god of the air. Let me tell you what's wrong with him. And oh, the god of the sea. Let me tell you what's wrong with him. He doesn't do that. He goes through there and he finds the one thing that nobody's talking about, the unnamed and unknown God. And he makes him known. And the message there for us is that in the midst of a sea of idols, in a culture where idols are everywhere, where evil is everywhere, we oppose evil. We push evil back. But brothers and sisters, let's not spend so much time pointing evil out and trying to fight that evil back that we lose sight of the gospel. We lose sight of talking about the one God who's not being proclaimed, the one that we're supposed to make known. That's your job and that's my job. Listen, I have a friend, actually it's a family member, who works for a nonprofit that does like earth care. And we have an ongoing discussion. Because I keep saying, listen, I get it, and I think it's great that you want to save the earth. But until we deal with the human heart, nobody cares about the earth. Nobody, you'll get people for a little while. They'll jump on it. They'll get excited about it. They'll try. But ultimately, they'll lose sight about it because they're unconverted. They're not, an unregenerate heart does not care about the things of God. And so the only way that you're going to get people to get passionate about saving the earth is if you first get passionate about saving their souls. You evangelize them and you get in there and you begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. They get radically changed by that. And then all of a sudden they start seeing things the way that God sees them and they start caring about the world. I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of converted Christians who litter. I don't know. But I don't know any. I mean, I'm just being really honest. I don't know of any. Most of the people I know are a little more conscious about things. They're a little more conscious about what they use and what they abuse and how they do that. And I'm not trying to lift Christians up above anybody else. But I do think that, a converted heart, a heart that sees things the way Jesus sees things, cares about things the way Jesus cares about things, cares about people the way that they do. And so I think that sometimes we're, by looking at just these individual issues before looking at the greater issue, which is the human heart, we're fighting battles we can't win. And sure, there'll be moments where it feels like we're winning because we'll have some big rally or we'll have something happen and we'll feel like somehow we've done some real good for the world. But ultimately, the greatest good for the world already came, and that's God in the flesh in Jesus Christ. And then out of that, the goodest, the goodest, that's not even a great word to use. The best thing then that comes out of that that we can offer is testimony to the gospel. Because there will come a time when this thing passes away. There will come a time, if you read the book of Revelation, where those people who are not in the Lamb's Book of Life will perish eternally. And those who are in the Lamb's Book of Life will live. And I'm going to tell you, when I read those passages in Revelation, I am just so struck by my absolute need to reach out to lost people. And not for my sake, but for their sake. You know, I think about when Paul says to the Ephesian elders, I'm able to sleep at night because the blood isn't on my hands. That's because Paul preached the gospel tenaciously. Mm-hmm. And I want to go to bed at night and sleep well because I know that every day, everywhere that I went, I've tried my best to make God's light evident and his love present. And in that, I've called sin out because the most loving thing you can do is say, that's sinful right there. And the most light-bringing thing you can do is to walk into a room where it's dark and say, I'm going to begin to show you what Jesus Christ looks like. I'm going to do it in my word, in my deed, in my actions. And so, friends, I think that that's what we have to do, because if we don't, what we're always going to do, I think, is side with trying to find some sort of king who will take the place of the King of Kings. We're going to try and find some lesser king. And Jesus Christ is the King of all things. He did what no man could ever do. He did what you couldn't do. And he did it for his glory and for your joy. And so why are you living in such poverty? Why are you trusting in lesser things? When the God of the universe reached out, knew your name, Jeremiah 29:11, he knows you. And you know what, if you're one of those guys who goes, you know, but that's the Old Testament, then I'll take you to Romans 8 and verse 28, where it says that he foreknew and predestined and he's called and justified and will glorify. And then it goes on to that next verse, which says, if God's for you, then who can stand against you? You know who's standing against you today, friend? You. You. So get out of the way and start seeing God.
Got today's title, Making Him Known. That's going to be the title on our website, greatnewsradio.org, because I was thinking, and part of the reason of even lifting this topic about the elections and how everyone's talking about it is we get so sidetracked in those lesser conversations. And certainly, yeah, there's a place to talk about sports and, you know, certainly talk about our humanity and things we're interested in and hobbies and cooking and all those things, but they are all lesser topics than making him known. And I think I just wanted to raise that point, that friend, today, in the midst of all the scuttlebutt and all the conversations about Super Tuesday and all the other things, don't let it totally sidetrack you from bringing up the topic about your relationship with God or Christians. Let's not be whining and in despair and complaining about things. We're on the winning team. We know the end of the story. Let's infuse life and wholesomeness and God-honoring conversations in the midst of all the other conversations that are being aired and fleshed out today.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I mean, God has to be our focus. Let's keep our eyes on God, and let's keep our eyes on the proclamation of God and the proclamation of his word. Let's be faithful. Let's be obedient. And let's be loving. Above all else, let's love as Christ has loved us. And I think that's really got to be it, Mark. I mean, I think that in the midst of all of this, I mean, things are winding pretty tight in the world. And everything wants to take our eyes off of God. Everything, even pastors I know will say that. They'll say, gosh, with everything going on, it feels like I'm even starting to lose sight of what I'm really called to do. And we can't do that. I mean, I love how Peter says to be diligent, to confirm your calling, to keep your eyes upon it, and to move tenaciously after it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because in the midst of a fallen world, it will do everything it can to try and pull your gaze off of it. And listen, ultimately, we're in charge. You know, God's in charge divinely over everything, but we're in charge of us. Which means that when that conversation starts to veer right and starts to veer left, we can bring it back to center. We can say, well, you know what? I don't know about Bernie or Hillary, or I don't know about Trump, or I don't know about Rubio, or I don't know about Cruz, or I don't know about Kasich. I covered them all, so nobody can say I was. Maybe some of you will go, but you didn't. You mentioned
what about
that
the Green Party?
You mentioned that one earlier than later. I don't know. But I mean, when somebody brings all of that up, will you be bold enough? And courageous enough. Isn't that what, will you be strong enough? Because isn't that what God told Joshua to do? Be strong and courageous. Will you be bold and strong and courageous enough to say, you know what? I voted, but those are all lesser men. And let me tell you about the God-man, Jesus Christ. And let me tell you what he did. Mm-hmm. He didn't try and pass a referendum. He didn't have to go to Senate. He didn't have to go to the Congress. Instead, he went to the cross and he shed his blood for the forgiveness of your sins. And you, my friend, by the blood of Christ have been forgiven. And not only have you been forgiven, but on the third day he rose from the dead. He rose unlike any other person in history. He rose from the dead. And he ascended to heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of God. Mm-hmm. And he sent the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who is not just with us, but who is in us. And you too can know that gift. Mm-hmm. You too can know the free gift of God, that you already have a king, and he's in heaven, and he is enthroned like none other. Maybe you flip open to Revelation chapter 7, where they're gathered around the throne, and you begin to show your friend the myriads of myriads, thousands upon 10,000s who are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And you invite them to become a part of that family, the family of God, a greater family, not the lesser family, but a greater family. Will you be bold enough, strong enough, and courageous enough? Because, friends, let me tell you what, God is with you.
Oh, how he loves you and me. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.